Federal Parliament has risen for the long midwinter break, but there's unfinished business on gambling and social media reforms and ongoing questions around Liberal Party leadership.
One Nation's orange wave may be petering out.
It's a little bit like a shopper at the supermarket who reaches out for a product because they like what's on the label and see that it's actually not very appetising.
I think it's time for the Liberal Party to rebrand. I think it'd be a really good time for us to revisit our values.
But people know who the Liberals are. Yes, we're at a low.
You can breach trust in an instant, but it takes time to rebuild it. You can't turn around a tanker in a few months.
The market, whether it's house prices or auction clearance rates, growing a bit more slowly, but in some markets we have seen a bit of a moderation.
Labor's correction in house prices means the value of an Australian home could collapse by 10 to 20%, smashing Australia's nest egg.
I can't support something that won't work. When we know that kids watch their footy to the end of the last quarter, they don't turn off at a certain time because they're concerned that they might be exposed to gambling ads.
We want to work with the government to make sure that we get this right.
Angus Taylor talks a big game. All right, come on, big man. Show us how strong you are. Stand up to Labor, work with us and protect families.
I think we are also up against a very determined campaign by Big Tech to throw as much doubt across this as possible to dissuade other countries. And that's why we're making so clear today that we will not back down.
That's the Communications Minister, Annika Wells, rounding out some of the sounds of this political week. So to break it all down, we've got our Friday panel. Shane Wright is the Senior Economics Correspondent for The Age and Sydney Morning Herald. Morning, Shane.
Proud Collingwood supporter, thank you.
Just all declaring allegiances. We've got Karen Middleton, a journalist and columnist with The Monthly. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you. Somewhat passive Carlton supporter, but
depends on the fortunes.
More inclined to admit to that than I used to
yes.
be.
And, of course, we have our own political correspondent and Lions tragic Tom Crowley.
Go the Lions.
Now, I want to start with housing. We've got new housing data on Wednesday showing the biggest monthly decline in home values for more than 3 years. The government says, look, these are long-term trends largely driven by interest rates. The opposition says this is the government's capital gains tax and negative gearing changes that have tanked the market. Shane, you watch this closely. How do you see it?
Please, give me 3 or 4 hours, we can go into it. Yes, the biggest monthly decline by Cotelli for dwelling values in 4 years. The conversation about this destruction of wealth, I was wondering where people were between 2017-19 when the Sydney dwelling values fell by 15%. Mm. Look, the problems inside the housing market, everyone knows about it, anyone who has tried to buy or has looked at what's going on. And the argument at the moment, it's really interesting, we've got into negative equity again. Mm. Negative equity, just 4 weeks ago, was Michelle Bullock said practically no one is in negative equity. I think the ratio is about 0.3% of all loans. 2019, 2% of all loans, and the world did not collapse. So there's a lot of catastrophising around this. The Reserve Bank actually wants a slowdown in house price growth. There is one of the impacts of those three rate rises that occurred earlier in the year was to slow the market. Clearly, the government's tax policies are having an effect, but no one's brave enough to say, look, house prices need to fall. And the interesting thing is we've had two polls in the last 2 weeks resolved for my mastheads, and Sky this week, half the population says, yep, I'm comfortable with a fall in prices. 10 to 15% say no. There's something going on.
And so does Pauline Hanson, by the way, who's obviously picked up on this. I think this is exactly, and even in the, the breakfast TV interviews where ministers basically show up every morning, you know, we sometimes in this place move on to different issues and we have all sorts of things. It's all housing all the time on breakfast TV. But everyone seems confused from no party and the hosts themselves. Is this a good thing? Is it not? Should we be celebrating? Should we not? Well, no one knows how to...
The budget has some detail on the perverse impact that these concessions have had over a long period of time on people's investment choices. That they were originally designed under the Howard government in combination, capital gains tax concession and negative gearing, to increase the incentive to invest in shares and the like. In fact, what they did was they increased the incentive to invest in housing and one particular kind of housing, existing homes, not new homes and not units. So people have been borrowing and borrowing and borrowing to get in on the negative gearing lurk, overextending, and the budget says that. They've borrowed too much money, they're worried worried about how overextended people have got. They want the prices to come off. The only way to do that, remove the concessions, and they will come off a bit, but that's not a bad thing.
Yeah. Is it difficult in our sort of hyper-focused times, a very quick media cycle? People are very focused on what did I just hear about house prices this month without, Shane, as you point out, thinking about not even necessarily where we were 10 plus years ago, but even where we were 2 years ago, where house prices were rising.
When the 5% deposit scheme was expanded, I went looking at the media questions from morning TV. So many questions. Aren't you just going to push up house prices this week? Aren't you just pushing down house prices? For God's sake, people, get a grip of what you actually want to get at and what's going on. And, yeah, as I keep coming back to a lot of people saying, the average new mortgage in New South Wales at the moment is $860,000. In the nation, it's $735,000. Again, for God's sake, we are killing the
property. We're doing fine in property prices.
We're doing fine, and we're doing a lot of damage to every person behind us. It is a big social issue, and you can understand why the government has finally got to this point.
I want to turn to how the Liberal Party has managed and navigated the last 2 weeks of Parliament before this sitting period. We had last week where the government succeeded in getting its taxation changes through. We were sort of anticipating the Liberal Party would be hammering the government on a broken promise, but instead we've had this final week with the government trying to press on with more changes and the government not really clear where it sits. Karen, how is Angus Taylor managing to steer the good ship Liberal Party and the coalition that comes with it through this period of Labor trying to press ahead with a lot of reforms?
I think he's been struggling to be seen to be out front as the leader. And I think on Tuesday in the party room, he sort of tried to read the riot act and say, we need unity. You've got to pull together. We can't be disunited. We can't win government if we are. And that was received in a number of different ways. There's a cohort in the coalition party room that say, well, hang on a minute, you were the one that stuffed up your response to multiculturalism. We all had to go out and clean it up. Where are you on a whole lot of issues? But I think there is a view that Angus Taylor needs to be backed in, even among those who are worried that he's not going to get any better. They don't see any benefit in changing a leader right at the moment. I think that includes a cohort, the close supporters of Andrew Hastie. They don't necessarily want to be pushing for a change of leader, but I do think Angus Taylor's now on the clock. Like, people are saying, they're pointing to the Victorian state election later in the year, which is going to be another test of the contest between the Liberal Party and One Nation. What happens there and what the Liberal Party looks like, he's going to come back on the federal Liberal Party as well, and I think he'll be under some pressure then.
Tom, Andrew Hastie has found himself a bit in the spotlight this week. How's that work? How's that gone for him?
Look, I think, he's obviously got a lot to contend with at the moment and does genuinely seem to be finding the campaign that's being run against him quite personally by One Nation to be quite bruising. There have been a lot of fighting words. I think the thing that has stood out about Hastie this week and in general under Taylor's leadership, though, is just sometimes politics is really simple. He just speaks clearly, and when he says things, he sounds like he's thought about the things and then he's saying them and he means them, whatever they are. He was making pretty much exactly
that
the same points.
That shouldn't really be a remarkable thing, but somehow in politics it is.
And I think that, there are lots of reasons why over time a certain sort of politician speak has evolved, and it's bipartisan in a sense. Angus Taylor, I think, is a master proponent of that kind of, going into interviews, trying not to say a particular thing and focusing on what you're trying not to say and how you're trying to come across. And sometimes, I think, probably more than many, just forgetting to talk. And I think that's what he's struggling to do, that Hastie, unencumbered in a sense and able to just freelance, and he has that freedom, is able to then, project that clarity. I think that is the thing that Angus Taylor just can't quite get. He got into a muddle after Pauline Hanson's press club, trying to talk about all the issues that were raised there. He can't get onto the things where perhaps he feels, he's best talking about. I wasn't at the Midwinter Ball, as I was mentioning this morning, but all of the reviews of his speech, the humour wasn't necessarily his thing either. That's a real problem when you're trying to kind of build something around the personality of this guy who's the sensible alternative to Pauline, if that's how he's wanting to position himself.
Overthinking a bit, needs more clarity.
And he's, like, as we've reported this morning, that he's out on a magical mystery tour through the regions and to the marginal seats. So
getting him out. Will he be on a horse?
I don't know if he'll be on a horse, but he'll be more worried particularly about like the front pages today about the ICAC inquiry into the New South Wales Liberal Party, when you've got a former police minister, David Elliott, having an absolute come off the long end, a long run crack at him. And that is going to end up, like, I think they've got 8 weeks of hearings. That's going to be a test as well.
This is going to be significant over the coming weeks. So too, the government's efforts to try and progress legislation on cuts to the NDIS, on restrictions on gambling ads, and efforts to try and strengthen the social media ban. Karen, those sort of challenges that are coming up, which one do you think the government is going to find the most difficult to get agreement on?
Well, I think the one they seem the most irritated about at the moment is the social media ban. Certainly in the last 24 hours, Annika Wells, the minister, has been very agitated that they couldn't get that. It is only a handful of pages and it's quite a narrow set of amendments through, which would double the penalties for not handing over documents and increase the powers of the eSafety Commissioner. I think the opposition's argument is, well, why wasn't this in the bill in the first place? And I do think that's a valid question, that this is sort of cleaning up afterwards and that this needs to be looked at. I think there is also a little bit from them of increasing the pressure on a minister who has been a bit accident prone, so they're taking the opportunity to do that. I do think there's legitimate reasons to look at the gambling bill as well, because it's been 3 years in the making and you do want to look at what's in it and how it will work and what's not in it. So I think they need to do that. And I'm, you know, the minister's obviously now sort of trying to get ahead of on the NDIS cut. So I think all of these are going to be difficult, but the one that they seemed most agitated about in the last 24 hours was the social media one.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there, but thank you all. We could go on all week, but we'll have you come back again another time.
Oh, okay.
All right, we'll drag you back in unwillingly. Shane Wright from The Age and Sydney Morning Herald, thank you.
Thank you.
Karen Middleton from The Monthly.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Tom Crowley, thank you too.
Thanks, Mel. We'll keep ranting about housing outside the studio.
We will. That is quite common. I will join in. Thank you.